Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor Butch Paul, and you are listening to Financial Survival. We'll be joined in about 20 minutes with Melody Cederstrom. Waiting for Wendy Wilson to call in today, as she usually does. We're waiting to see what happens. Haven't heard from her yet. We're going to hope she joins in a minute. But it is hard to believe, folks, that we're almost through another month, 29 March 2023. 29 March 2023. I don't know where time has taken us, but sure, we're getting us there awful fast, is it not? I mean, maybe it's just me, but it seems like a week is what a day used to be, and a month is what a week used to be. I mean, zoom, it's going. But nonetheless, we live in interesting times, and welcome to today's broadcast. I'm so honored you join us on this program. I really am, but I thank you for joining us on our broadcast at 8 o'clock at night Eastern, too. Thank you for that. But we're going to start, as always, with markets and metals and go from there. And we got a lot of news report, and I'm hoping Wendy will join us. I don't know yet what's happened. Maybe a little bit late. We'll find out. Todd, let me know, I'm sure, when she shows up. The metals had a good day, all but one. Kind of odd. Gold was down, 889 to 1965.80. Now, I want that to let that sink in a minute. Gold was down $9 to 1965.80. It hung in the 17s and 18s for several months. Now it's pecking on 2000 again. So down 889 to 1965. Yeah, okay. Silver's up 2 cents to 2342. Platinum was up 702 to 978.14. Palladium was up a good chunk, 3230 to 1481.34. So I do believe metals are going to start gaining ground and holding the ground for sure for a long time to come. The markets were all up all over the world today. Really, I mean, they were. The Dow was up 300 to 32,694. NASDAQ was up 219 to 11,935. S&P was up 57 to 40,027. The FTSE was up 1.07% to 75,64. The DAX was up 1.23% to 15,328. Hang Seng was up 2.06% to 21,92. And the Nikkei was up 1.33% to 27,883. So markets all over the world were up today. USDX was up 0.25% to 0.25 to 106.68. You remember just a few months ago that was 114 over 114? So actually it's down $12. But it's up today 0.25 to 102.68. 10-year yield was up 0.005 to 3.573%. Oil was down 0.29 to 72.91. I don't know where it is where y'all live around the country. I don't know, but you know, the gas prices here, I think, are rather high. Higher than neighboring towns around us. Our little town in Nettie, West Virginia, the prices are high. You can go half hour to the south, and it drops down 25, 30 cents a gallon. But nonetheless, the prices are stuck. Oil may go down, stays the same. Oil may go up a little bit, it stays the same. So I assume they figure on making a thing, just keeping us constant, because people are getting used to the price. They've been paying for so long. I can remember back when everybody said, when gas goes to $1 a gallon, I'm going to quit buying so much gas. Well, that didn't happen, obviously. Now, I never smoked, but I remember people talking about when cigarettes go to $1 a package, I'm quitting. Don't know many folks that did. We just adapt to the new prices and the new ways and keep on going, don't we? That's what we do. And to a certain extent, that's okay. But in some areas, it's not. Some areas we need to protest more, so to speak. And that is happening around a lot of country now. People are getting a little bit fed up with a lot of things. They truly are, and it's about time. It's way past time, I think, in my mind. Now, people are getting kind of fed up with everything and getting tired of it. You know, I'm going to cover a few of those areas in a minute here. I guess Wendy's not going to be joining us today, I don't suppose. I haven't heard anything, I don't think, from Todd. Let's see. Nope, Wendy's not with us today, apparently, and I hate that because I really enjoy her information. Her attitude is really phenomenal when she talks to us. She can tell she enjoys what she's doing. You really can. So Wendy's not with us today. We'll venture on without her, and we'll bring Melody up in a little bit and talk to her some. I know if you follow the mainline news, and some of y'all probably do, I watch some of the news to see what the world news is saying. But then I certainly go behind the scenes if I can to find out what's going on behind the scenes, because ABC, CBS, CNN, all the rest of them, they give you some, I guess, but I really don't trust what they're saying at all. And ABC News the other day, we had that shooting in Nashville at a Christian school, which in my mind was a hate crime. But I think the chief police, a black gentleman, said something along the lines, "See what the guns did." That was a direct jab in the direction of gun control for the people who are good people that have every right and duty to arm themselves. "See what the guns did." And all I could say was, "You idiot, the guns did nothing. The guns did nothing. They were a tool in the hands of a insane individual. Individual full of hate because of her lifestyle she chose, that she hated herself because of what she done." But nonetheless, I won't get started on that. The point of it is that you can't. The news will bias things their direction every time. And it's don't do anything to the criminal. Just get rid of the guns. But anyway, Netanyahu has hit a hard snag in Israel, folks. You already know that already. I mean, we're talking about hundreds of thousands of protesters in the streets blocking the main highways for hours and demonstrating in front of Netanyahu's house in Jerusalem. And I mean, it's just been a madhouse over there because of his judicial overhaul plan that he wants to do. Now, I know for now he delayed it till this summer when they meet again in their legislature, he delayed it for a while. But now the other side that wants this change is rioting. Are you seeing a division and splits and violence in all countries, more or less, over different issues? I mean, we're going to talk about France in a minute also, but we're seeing things happen here that's causing people to become very angry. And by the way, that's prophesied too. That is. I mean, it's prophesied. It's going to happen. The nations will become, people become restless, so to speak. But Netanyahu backed down for now on this, and it may have appeased one side, but the other side's angry now they didn't follow through. And I'm not going to pick sides on this. I'm not informed enough to know who's right on this and who's wrong. I just know that Israel is in chaos right now. And I don't see it getting any better. Not in the near future anyway. I just don't. But Macron is going to hold a crisis meeting as more protests loom. French President Emmanuel Macron summoned government to meet ministers for a crisis meeting on Monday. That was, of course, this past Monday. As tension ran high a day before another major round of strikes and protests against the pension reforms. Now, again, I don't know all the ins and outs of this, except the part I don't understand. He wanted to raise the retirement rate from 62 to 64. And I guess that's something. I mean, that is something. I have no doubt it is. But, he rammed it through without even a vote in the parliament, and people are upset about that. And I can understand that this should be done through the right processes, no doubt about it. But this is tearing France apart. Paris looks like a bombed-out city. Trash everywhere, fires burning, windows broken. And I have to wonder, if the same thing happens in France and in Israel, other places, that happens in America, when someone starts to protest, instigators go in like they did on January 6th, six buses of Antifa and BLM come in and start that January 6th protest, which is a protest of people singing hymns and praying and praising God, turn into violence. Well, if that could be part of it, you reckon there are instigators also brought in to cities like Paris, France, and Jerusalem, Israel, and other places to instigate the things into violence and cause more dissension. Of course, it's very possible, and it probably is happening. Understand that they have to divide a country to conquer a country. It's just one of those things we're seeing. Now, Germany may be facing the biggest protest of its history. German transport crippled by inflation sparked mega strike. The transportation network of Europe's largest economy has ground to a halt as German unions began a 24-hour mega strike. Workers flood the streets of German cities as they demanded higher wages in response to the worst inflation in decades. The strike contributes to the ongoing social unrest in France, where millions protested last week against the government's unpopular pension reform. The strike was started just after midnight on Sunday, follows increasing protests seen across Europe over recent months as rising prices disseminate household budgets. It's a matter of survival for many thousand employees to get a considerable pay raise, Frank Wernke, who heads a Verdi labor union, told Bild and Bild AM Sonntag. In February, German consumer prices announced rising 9.3% year over year. Slightly, this keeps going up and up and up, and people are getting very angry. And this is a situation, folks, where it's really hard to calm something down when people are really desperate and they want pay raises. And you can certainly see their point, can't you? You can see their point, they want pay raises. And a pay raise of 5% when inflation is 10% just isn't going to cut it. So they're wanting higher 30% pay raise over a certain period of time, and I can understand that. I certainly can try to keep even, at least even with inflation. The only trouble is every time they get a pay raise, that in itself caused inflation. Like the minimum wage caused inflation. This is a catch-22, so to speak, that you dang if you do and dang if you don't. But the people are getting angry. In France, Germany, Israel, and it's happening here in America also, folks. We're seeing the beginning of a cauldron that's been boiling without a top on it and no way out for many years. It's going to blow. When it blows, it's going to blow worldwide, especially in Western countries. I can't speak for China and Russia, but it's going to blow in Western nations, European nations and America. It's going to blow. And it's going to be something we never could would have expected. It's going to be so severe, so powerful, that's going to shake the world literally in a lot of different ways. Now, if you folks in California, I know you're excited about this. You're about to pay reparations to blacks because their great-great-grandparents may have been slaves or may not have been, in a state that never had slavery to start with, because you got a government and a governor that are complete idiots. And I'm just saying like it is. You get mad if you want to. I can't help it. It's truth. Reparations for black Californians could top $800 billion. It could cost California more than $800 billion to compensate black residents for generations of over-policing, disproportionate incarceration, and housing discrimination, economists have told a state panel concerning reparations. The preliminary estimate is more than 2.5 times Governor's California's $300 billion annual budget, and does not include a recommended $1 million per older black resident for health disparities that have shortened their average lifespan. Nor does a figure count compensating people for property unjustly taken by the government for devaluing black businesses to other harms the task force say the state perpetuated. So California's government has a budget of $300 billion, but they don't pay reparations of $800 billion, plus $1 million per older black resident because we've shortened their lifespan. Maybe I'm just ignorant. Maybe I'm just a hateful old man and I don't understand all this. But I, for one, getting sick of it. I really am. Crybabies everywhere. I don't care, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, crybabies. But it is turning in the direction now that everything is, of course, the Caucasian people's fault, no matter what. All people should be treated fairly. But for injustice done 150 years ago, that's not my responsibility. And the people that are going to be confiscated, for this, are not the ones who paid the penalty under certain laws back then. That's all there is to it. And we are, I don't like the element to say we're sleepwalking, but almost are, sleepwalking into a nuclear war. Putin's 3,000 diehard troops launched nuke drills testing Yar's missile as Kremlin threatens legitimate Western target. Vladimir Putin is flexing his military muscle with his invincible weapons in three regions, showcasing nuclear-capable Yark rockets, one of Moscow's deadliest weapons. Yar's missiles have a range of 7,500 miles, meaning they're capable of striking both Europe and the U.S. It comes as Russia today threatens Sweden and Finland over joining NATO, saying it will make it the Nordic countries a legitimate target for Russian retaliatory measures, including those of a military nature. Putin has aimed to make the Mammoth Yars intercontinental ballistic missile system, which replaced the Topol, the mainstay of the ground-based component of Moscow nuclear arsenal. The video shows the Vince missile on drills amid this war against Ukraine and high tension with the West. I don't know who's behind this. I don't know who's really causing this tension. I don't know whether this is a public move, a group move between Putin and Zelensky and the U.S. and Europe. Are they all of them wanting to go to war? Are all of them bad guys, or is Putin a good guy, maybe trying to do something different? I don't have those answers. You don't either. But when it comes to the end of it, if this escalates like I think it will eventually, and I don't think it will be that far in the future, the whole world's going to pay for it. I've said this on this program many times. The ones who want the wars don't fight the wars. The ones who pay for the greed, lust, and for power and money, the ones that cause the wars, the so-called elite, if you will, that want these wars to further their own benefit, aren't the ones who fight the wars. They build up a patriotic fervor out of mostly our lives and then sending the young ones off to die. It's break time, folks. Back at the break, don't go away. A lot more to talk about.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE TalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. Never gonna give you up, never gonna let you down, never gonna run around and desert you, never gonna make you cry, never gonna say goodbye, never gonna tell a lie. And
all righty, folks, we are back, and one of the ladies stood me up today, but the other made it through. Wendy didn't show up, but Melody did. Okay. Melody Cederstrom,
well,
welcome to your own broadcast.
If you want me to.
Well, I didn't want you to. I didn't want Wendy to. She didn't say hi, bye, or nothing. She just didn't show up.
Well, that's not like, so I will check on her to make sure she's okay.
Yes, that worried me a little bit, does, because that's not like her at all. It isn't.
No.
So, welcome. What's on your mind today? I noticed us talking about medals. Gold was down slightly, risked them up, and gold still running almost as 1965, so that's not too bad. Gold's been holding pretty good in the 1900s last week or so.
Yes, it has, and so it's looking good. Had a little pressure today, down $10 at 1964, but not bad. You still have, but the markets are doing strong, too, and you have the dollar up to 0.22 at 102.67, so you know, that's pressure, but, you know, we can't focus on the day-to-day, whether it's up $20, whether it's down $20,
or,
you know, because the long-term, that's what you have to focus on. And certainly whenever you have these pullbacks by like about $10 or so, it's a great time to pick it up if you're looking to be in the market. And so many people are trying to time the market, which I always say it's almost impossible to time the markets. But, hey, if you get a good day, take advantage of it.
Well, you know, the market's up all over the world, actually, and they were. That's just one of those things. The markets, like you said, I mean, they can change in a heartbeat, too. They have. We've seen that happen before. And gold and silver was up and down some, too. And the dollar, if you remember, not too long ago, was 114. Now it's 102. That's quite a difference.
It's quite a difference. And you got to remember back to, well, if we go back to the Great Recession, we had the dollar ready to break 70. So that's a big drop from where we're at to even going back there. And I'm assuming we'll also break that. Now, I'm a little different than most people in the camp of monetary predictions. The dollar doesn't have to go to zero. If it goes back to 70 again, you're all going to be hurting.
True.
You know?
True.
I mean, and if it breaks 70, even if it goes to 65, you're going to be hurting. So don't think it, you know, you're going to wait for it to see what happens and thinking that it's not going to go to zero. I mean, it can go to zero. It should, based on everything that we have. The key thing is they'll default. If they default on the debt, you're going to have treasuries readjusted. I mean, that's what Trump said had to be done. And, you know, I know a lot of you believe Trump. And I believed him on that remark. You know, those treasuries, well, it's the biggest bubble that ever was. So they're going to have to adjust the value of those treasuries, those bonds. And by what? We don't know. 30, 40, 50%. So your standard of living will probably decrease twice as much. So that's in your future. Even if you think it's staying the same and the market stays the same and the dollar stays the same, your standard of living is still dropping. For those people who are working part-time jobs to make ends meet, you think their standard of living is the same as it was before they had to work two jobs? No. They might be making the same money, but they're working two jobs. Standard of living is different. So there's a lot of things out there that our standard of living is not the same as it once was. But there's nothing on the horizon to show us how it can improve.
That's very true.
How can it improve?
What you mentioned about... Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We've talked about technology and AI taking over the jobs, not just here, but around the world. We talk about that repeatedly. You know, we talk about all the extra expenses coming in this nation, illegal aliens. Oh, they'll take the jobs. Americans won't work. Well, then what the heck's wrong with Americans? Oh, you don't have to work. Okay, that's nice. So, you know, it's, and then we pay for all those benefits and the money, and you all know, because you know what's going on in this nation, that our listeners are the smartest ones around. So, I don't know, Butch.
Well, you made a comparison about working a part-time job to hold Jones like a hamster on a wheel. Run his legs off, he's not getting anywhere.
Not getting anywhere.
And no matter how fast he runs, he's still not getting anywhere. Because that's just like the same with the what's going on. Well, you're in a part-time job, you're holding your own. But how long can you run on that wheel and keep it moving and try to move ahead when it's, you can't go, you can't do anymore. You're limited. Everyone's limited on 24 hours a day. Like to think you'd rest at least 8 hours out of that day. So it's limited, Mel. It really is. And I thought, you know, I'm getting to be an older gentleman now, and I think about the future also and what I can do to keep things together. And I don't know. I mean, it's just something to think about. It should be something on our minds we need to plan for. That's why I tell people now, if they can afford it, stock some real tangible assets now. And that includes a little bit of food maybe and some a water filter or two and things that you can use to survive if you have to. I don't know what's going to happen with a lot of things. I mean, look, the water supply has been tainted in so many different places right now all over the country. I mean, what are you going to do if you don't have fresh water to drink? I mean, what are you going to do if you can't find bottled water? These are things that you got to think about. Natural disasters and man-made disasters, it makes no difference. Still disaster, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So, think about it, folks. You know, Ron DeSantis then made another move that I like. I'm up in the air about him. I really am. Not real sure a lot some things, but I do like some of the things he has done. He has introduced legislation in Florida prohibiting the use of CBDCs in the state. I like that. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has unveiled his plan to introduce legislation to prohibit the use of central bank digital currencies in the Sunshine State, calling their nationwide attempt to push its use a part of the woke ideology. The proposed law would prohibit the use of any kind of digital currency issued by the federal government as legal money within Florida. It will also prevent the use of any other kind of CBDC issued by any overseas central bank. The Senate's proposed law will be introduced as an amendment to the state's Uniform Commercial Code. On Monday, March 20th, the Senate delivered a speech at a news conference accusing the Joe Biden administration of weaponizing the collapse of the financial sector by introducing CBDCs, and that's really what's happening. The Biden administration efforts to inject in a central bank digital currency is about surveillance and control. Today's announcement will protect Florida consumers and businesses from the reckless adoption of a centralized digital dollar, which will stifle innovation and promote government-sanctioned surveillance, said DeSantis. What are they going to do? What are they going to want to do here? If you go and buy too much gasoline, they will allow you to use this to make a transaction. Who knows? Maybe they'll let you purchase they won't let you purchase a firearm. DeSantis believes that the federal government were to issue the CBDC in the United States, it would mean the federal government will acquire even more power over American citizens. He pointed out how CBDCs are all about surveilling Americans and controlling the behavior of Americans. That's very true, Melody. They will know everything you buy or sell because you can't do it any other way. You don't have any cash. Cash should be gone. Now, perhaps, if you're smart, you have something to barter with. That may be some 9 cent silver. Yeah, folks, really. Maybe that. Or maybe something more valuable, like 99% silver or even some gold. But may also could be maybe some storable goods, some food, water filters, maybe guns and ammo. I don't know. But cash will be gone. And I mentioned that in the program, Billy. I think the day was last week you were off. I mentioned that if there's no cash, there'll be no private transactions. There'll be no more yard sales. There'll be nothing like that going on because you won't have any cash. Now, isn't that pretty much control?
Yeah, and you got to remember it's all about money, too. You know, and again,
sure it is.
They're doing it all for money and control and, you know, the ability to... You know, it's just not going to be any different than China's social rating system that they have. You know, if you're a good little citizen, if you're a good little world citizen, and you do what they want you to do, you go to the job. I mean, how many movies are made, Butch, about these future societies?
Of course.
Where people go to, you know, they live with their parents until they're, you know, 18 or something like that. Then they are... given a particular job based on their personalities and their strengths, and as they're trained throughout the years. And it's really kind of, we have that same sort of a system already. But it will be an interesting and sad place to live. But the youth of today, that's what they're willing to accept, so they will like it.
Yes.
They want to be told what to do. They want to be told. They want someone paying their bills. I saw today there, I didn't read the whole article about how, you know, how parents are still paying their adult children's bills. So.
Yes, I know that's true, and that's sad.
And, you know, I get it that, you know, children can have a hard time and they need help from parents. But this isn't the reason why parents are doing that. It's not a, you know, to help Junior or Missy or the young daughter to get back on their feet. It's not the same reasons. But anyway, Butch.
Well, it is temporary help. We all can use it once in a while. But something that you have to continue doing, and especially the person that you're doing it for is not really trying to help themselves, that becomes enabling, and that's wrong. You know what I'm saying about that?
Sure.
You know, I mean, to an extent, we've all let that happen in our lives. Personally, we've always chosen the easy path. You know, we don't. I said you don't make decisions, don't responsible for anything. That's why we have all the Medicaid, Medicare, we have Social Security, we have the unemployment benefits, all that. We don't worry about if we got a job, don't worry, we get unemployment benefits. All this sounds great because it keeps us in a safe spot. But prison is a safe spot also if you want 3 meals a day and play sleep. No responsibilities, really. So, no difference.
Prisons don't even want them anymore.
That's true. That's very true. But you can have a lack of responsibility and have freedom. True liberty. You can't do it. You cannot be a ward of the state and be a free individual. You just can't do it. But if you're willing to sell your freedom, and we all have, I said, folks, we all have. If we're willing to sell our freedom for security, well, you're going to lose both of them eventually. Ben Franklin said that. I didn't. You lose them both. You don't deserve either one of them. We've done that for years. A little bit of the time, creeping incrementalism, they come in and promise this and promise that. We accepted it because it sounded like a good deal. And now they got us into a corner where they're going to take away our cash and make us use our digital dollars so they control us even more. Took them a long time to get us here, folks, but we're getting there very quickly, actually. We really are the last few pieces of puzzle I put together. Anything you want to add to that, Melody?
You know, not to that, but I just want to say I saw the headlines today where Pope Francis is in hospital with a respiratory infection. He's had some issues over the past couple of years, but is he the last pope? If he's the last pope.
I've heard that. I don't know that.
Well, when I was in Italy, I can't remember exactly where it was and so forth. It was on our tour. It was in Rome. And there was this area. It was a church. It was close to the Vatican. And they had all, I don't know how many popes there were, 260-some or 160-some or however many popes there were. Other pictures, and there was, it went all around the top of the building, and there was only one more spot for a pope, and there was, and it kind of just reminded me of that. I mean, it's weird. I mean, because you go, and I mean, if you would have gone back on, you know, 100 years or something like that, there had been a lot of spaces for a lot of popes, but there was one left. And it was to the idea that this would be the last pope, and this would be Pope Francis. So I don't know what happens after that. Yeah, what happens after that?
I don't know. That's a good question. By the way, I would let the listener know that Wendy did. I did text Wendy to see what happened. She said, so far, so sorry, forgot it was Wednesday. Woke up with stabbing eye pain today. Eye doctor appointment at 1 o'clock. My cornea scratch came back. Was ordered to bed. Rest, close eyes with eye salve. Pain made me tired, and I just got up, so I apologize. So then we know what happened to Wendy.
Oh.
Bless her heart. So
keep her in her prayer. Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And this article, I'm going to read some things. This is from Michael Snyder. I'm going to read some things here that when you put it in this perspective, you understand maybe a little more what money is and how much $1 trillion, $1 billion really is. You'll be shocked by how much money is being pulled out of U.S. banks. And now the biggest bank in Germany is in trouble. Mel, this is going worldwide. This isn't here, is it? This is everywhere.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
$1 trillion is a lot of money. If you stack $1 billion on top of one another, the power will be 67.9 miles high. Let that sink in. $1 billion, almost 68 miles high, stacked and flat on top of each other. If you stack $1 trillion on top of each other, the power will be 67,866 miles high. Melody, that's a lot of money. And if you lined up $1 trillion bills end to end, the line of dollar bills will be a staggering 96,906,656 miles long. Almost 97 million miles long. That's longer the distance from the Earth to the sun. $1 trillion is such a vast amount of money that it's truly difficult to comprehend. But as you will see below, that much money has already been pulled out of the vulnerable U.S. banks over the past year. Hordes of small and mid-sized banks are now in trouble, and that is really bad news because those institutions issue most of the mortgages, auto loans, and credit cards that our economy runs on. The other day, I asked my readers to imagine what our country will look like if the banking system implodes and the economy plunges into a depression. Because if our banks continue to collapse, that is precisely where we are headed. Unfortunately, the recent banking panic has greatly accelerated matters. In fact, a whopping $98.4 billion, now listen to this, a whopping $98.4 billion is pulled out of the U.S. banks during the last week, ending March 15th. I know we've got to go to break in a few seconds. Melody, almost $100 billion pulled out during the week ending March 15th. Think about that. How much of that can banks sustain? I don't know, I asked questions, but I guess still there. But anyway, you still there, Melody? I don't know where she went.
I'm here.
There she is. Okay.
There I am.
But
what was the question?
Almost $99 billion is pulled out of U.S. banks ending the week of March 19th. Pulled out of the bank, almost $99 billion. We'll get back to this article in a second. Let's go to break time here in a second. Go ahead and take us out.
Well, you know, it's true, but let's multiply that by 31 and 32 of our debt.
Yeah, yeah.
How's that sinking? We'll be right back. Yep. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Financial Survival.
It's a girl, my lord, in a flatbed Ford, slowing down to take a look at me. Come on, baby.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit the website, dgscoins.com. dgscoins.com. And sorry about leaving you there, Butch. My direct line onto my desk was ringing, and I had to pick it up.
Oh, okay. Well,
so
I'll forgive you this.
That was why I had disappeared briefly.
Well, I was reading this article here from Michael Snyder about the banks.
I was listening.
Mm-hmm. And almost $100 billion drawn out the week during the end of March 15th. The readout released shortly after the market closed Friday came around the same time as a new Fed data show that bank customers collectively pulled $98.4 billion from accounts for the weekend of March 15th. That would have covered the period when the sudden failures of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank rocked the industry. Just think about that. Nearly $100 billion as deposits evaporated in just 1 week. And it turns out that small banks were being hit the hardest. Unsurprisingly, big banks usually saw enormous inflows. Data show that the bulk of the money came from small banks. Large institutions saw deposits increase $67 billion, while smaller banks saw outflows of $120 billion. This article didn't give numbers for mid-sized banks, but it happens likely that they are experiencing large outflows as well. So little banks mid-sized banks, especially little banks, are maybe struggling, Melody. And I don't know where, where you are, but most of our banks in our area are, we'll say, mid-sized banks. They're not huge banks. And who knows what could happen. But this is hitting worldwide. And if it ever gets to the point where this is like a chain reaction, more than it is right now, it's going to be a nasty place to be. And I can see now how they're going to use to bring in the digital currency also, can't you?
Yeah. I think what they're going to introduce is a new monetary system. I don't know if it's going to be the digital currency. I don't know what it's going to be, and I don't think anybody does either. We certainly think that's heading that way. We know we're going to end into a cashless society, but in order for them to do that, that means the current system has to collapse. They're not going to say, hey, we got this brand new way to do a monetary policy, and you know it's going to help you and everybody. And no. The system will have to collapse.
Well, you know, if they do digital, you just can't draw your funds out digitally, so to speak. They just close it down. And they can do it with cash also, and they do. It's called a bail-in. Now, right now, people can, you know, move the money around and take out of one bank, put in the other. But if it's digital, they might be able to control that a little more. And that's maybe that's part of the game also, don't you think?
Well, I think, you know, I think when we talk of bank runs anymore, they have to control that. Now, and they're just now at one point in time, they just could lock the doors. Well, they can't do that anymore because of the ability to transfer funds from bank to bank and account to in an account. So, yeah, they'll pull the switch on that. So if you have your money, I mean, it cracks me up. People think that they're doing something that they're going to be able to fight the system and fight the beast. There's no way you're going to fight them. The only way you can fight them is by protecting yourself and doing something that they really don't care about. And because you're not enough of them. Now, they are scared. They are afraid of you because of your way of thinking. That's what is up to me. That's what was all about Trump. You know, it wasn't about Trump. It was about you. And it still is about you. But when it comes to the finances and it comes to your money, you know, I don't think it's the masses. So if you protect yourself by gold, they'll get to you eventually, maybe. But you got to remember, there's a loophole in that system of purchasing gold. And there's a reason why it's still active. There's a reason why that loophole is still there. Number one, because gold eagles, and it is money. It is our constitutional money. It's legal tender. And because they use it. They use those loopholes. So anyway, Butch. It's kind of like the Credit Suisse, what the rich do.
True.
And they go over there to avoid taxes. They go to the Cayman Island to pay taxes. So that's what really cracks me up when you hear the Democrats come out and say, oh, we're going to raise taxes on the rich. Yeah, right.
Anyway. It never has worked that way. It never has, never will.
Of course not.
You know, Schiffer and Oracle says this is a sequel to 2008 and was, and like all sequels, it'd be worse than the original. And it makes pretty good sense in this one. Peter Schiff appeared on Real America with Dan Ball to talk about the bank bailout, the unfolding financial crisis, the Fed inflation. He said this is a sequel to 2008, and like all sequels, it's going to be worse. Dan started the interview by referencing Senator Elizabeth Warren's assertion that the failure of Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank was caused by deregulation. Peter said this deregulation exists in the fantasy of her mind and pointed out that banking is one of the most heavily regulated industries in the world. It'd be much safer if it was regulated by free market forces instead of government, and I agree with that. The fact that the FDIC guarantees everybody's money, everybody's deposit, makes the system that much more, much riskier. Peter noted that we currently have a record high credit card debt. It's not a coincidence that both the borrowers and the lenders are broke. You know the reason for that is the Fed. The Fed kept interest rates artificially low for more than a decade, encouraging people to go deeper and deeper into debt and banks to extend them the credit. And now that we are forced to raise interest rates, something that was always going to happen, they've created another financial crisis, which is something I've been warning about for years. Of course, the media doesn't want to call it a financial crisis. Instead, they call it a banking crisis. The financial crisis of 2008 was a banking crisis. Nobody wants to say what it is because they don't want to invoke memories and comparisons to 2008. But this is a sequel to 2008, and like all sequels, this is going to be worse than the first. And I tend to believe that. I think this 2008 was a fiasco, bailed out with printed money, useless, nothing, credit, and now the credit's got even worse in the last 15 years. It's going to hurt even more, Melody, because this, we're further in the hole than we're then, aren't we?
Well, we are, but you can also say this is going to be worse than what we experienced in 2020. You got to remember that the Federal Reserve was already pumping money in from the same programs that they used in 2008. So we already had a little bit of test, you know, and no one's talking about the aftermarket funds anymore. So there's a lot of things that, you know, it's very hard to find information on. So we've already had a little bit of taste. And I'll tell you what, that was pretty drastic back in 2020.
Yes, it was. It was.
But we have such short memories. We remember 2008 only because it's so long ago. And that's what everybody focuses on. And there are so many numbers that are coming out today that are very equal to those numbers, you know, to set the whole, to set the stage, so to speak. So, yeah, we've never recovered. This big thing started in March of 2020. In 2020, that's when it all started. And they've been able to get us this far. So we're just still seeing the cracks.
And no one ever talks about derivatives anymore, do they?
Nope.
I remember Bob Chapman, that's been a long time ago, Melody, warned that one day that's going to come to a head, but no one even mentions it anymore. And how many trillions, quadrillions are derivatives? I mean, what would be the extent of that? You have any idea?
I mean, again, you don't have to have the whole thing expire.
No, you don't.
You just see 20%, 10% maybe. So
we couldn't cover that. We couldn't cover that.
Yeah, so we're looking at bubbles in our bonds and our treasuries. We're looking at bubbles in the derivatives sector. I mean, there's bubbles everywhere, and they're all connected. So when one pops, they all go.
Miss brought back the memory of Lawrence Welk, Champagne Music. Remember that? The bubbles floating there.
Certainly do. Yeah.
Brought that back to memory, yes. Wow. Well, anyway, that's, folks, it is what it is. It's going to blow. When it blows, it's going to hurt. Different topic. I mean, I don't think this could happen to a nicer company. Disney said it plans to lay off 7,000 total employees. Finally, the woke company got its eyes opened up a little bit. Walt Disney Company will begin laying off employees this week in the first of three rounds of job cuts that were announced earlier this year. In a company-wide message obtained by Fox Business on Monday, Disney CEO Bob Iger updated employees on the cuts expected to take place at the entertainment giant, saying the first group of impacted employees will receive notification they were being laid off over the next 4 days. Senior leaders at the company have been working closely with HR to assess their operational needs with the past handful of months, he said. The Walt Disney Company logo appears on a screen above the floor of the New York Stock Exchange. Disney is working on sequels for its Toy Story, Frozen, and Zootopia franchise as the company concentrates more on brands that they have continued to prefer. Two other rounds of layoffs will follow this, then the one starting this week, with Iger telling Disney employees the second round, larger round, will take place in April, and a third slated before the beginning of summer, according to the memo. The layoffs will ultimately trim Disney's headcount by about 7,000 workers. So, whether you work in Disney, I guess you might be looking for a place for a job, for another job sometime soon, folks, starting this week. And move on this, because I think this article is too important not to get today. The perfect storm hits our food supply chain. The odds of these listed events all happening in a short time frame are astronomical. It is by design. This is out of the All News Pipeline. Between bird flu killing off tens of millions of chickens, and don't forget turkeys, and egg-laying hens, along with the unbelievable amount of food processing plants and factories destroyed by explosions, fires, and even a couple of airplanes crashed into them, mixed with plant viruses, drought, and a number of other issues all affecting America's food supply, and now sees that ports of all across the U.S. are reporting unprecedented levels of cargo theft led by consumables. The past few years have not been good for our food supply chain. Now, folks, Mel, they're even stealing consumables off the cargo ships when they come into port. That's how bad it's getting. In 2020, the lockdowns upended the entire food supply chain, with restaurant and school closures causing a lack of demand, forcing farmers and ranchers to dump food, kill crops, and euthanize animals. In 2021-22, we saw more than 100 instances of food facilities, including mass kill-offs of chickens. That's actually close to 130 now. Also in 2022 and 23, the war between Russia and Ukraine caused wheat and fertilizer shortages, hiking the price of bread and forcing farmers into an untenable position of smaller crops. In 2022 and 23, we saw plant viruses affecting lettuce, weather events affecting orange crops, drought conditions causing farmers and ranchers to yet again destroy crops and sell off cattle before calving. On top of all that, food inflation has continued to rise with no real end in sight. The most recent incident was an explosion at a chocolate factory in Pennsylvania, leaving two dead, and I think it's actually more than that now, and multiple people missing. What are the odds of all this happening in the course of just a three-year period, coincidentally? While the exact numbers is unknown, I would say that those odds are astronomical. And I would too, Melody, wouldn't you?
I would. And it's, you know, and where's any of this news? What do you ever hear?
You don't hear it.
You don't hear it.
I mean, if one news, I would be surprised if any of them, including Fox, would sit down and put all these different plants that went down for whatever reason over the last couple of years, and put them at, just start listing them down through there. Be 100, I think. Last time I counted, about 130 of them. They're not going to take time to do that, and they're not going to do it because it would scare people to death, and it should. Make it their eyes open.
Do you hear any more about Ohio? No, that's totally out of the news.
No, it is.
Yeah.
And why don't you look at Turkey? I mean, well, you know, how many people died in Turkey? I hadn't heard of people out there for, 2 weeks or longer?
Yep.
So, yeah, folks, understand news is controlled, and it's regionalized. They give you what you want where you live. I know people like to believe this, but, folks, it's true. And now people are getting a little wiser when they buy houses. Now they're going to do something different. Fear of layoffs is changing how people buy homes, and an employment contingency can protect buyers in the event of job losses. So more home buyers are putting an unusual escape clause into the contracts. If they lose a job before closing, they can back out of the deal. Okay, I think it's pretty smart, actually. Known as the employment contingency, these provisions appeal to tech and finance workers who were rattled by the recent waves of layoffs. Real estate agents and lawyers said fears over recession and the fallout in tech and banking sectors following the failure of Silicon Valley Bank may only increase their popularity this home buying season. Like any contingency, this clause will weaken your offer in some competitive markets, even if it helps settle your fears. Buyers are feeling anxious and want added protection, said Michael Romer, a real estate lawyer in New York City. Employment contingencies were popular after 2008 financial crisis, but become less common in the past decade. So people saying, hey, I want a deal where if this falls through, if I lose my job, I'll go through this deal. And I know it sounds silly, but I think it's kind of wise, Melody. We're just about out of time. I'll let you go ahead and wrap it up.
Yes, we are just about out of time. And, yeah, because there's no accountability, too, anymore. So people will do whatever they have to do in order to protect themselves, and as they maybe they should. So, but, you know, it's just, again, a sign of the times. And people do need to give us a call at 1-800-375-4188. Well, we are out of time now. And, Butch, we'll be back. I'll be back tomorrow. You'll be back on Friday. Until
then,
be safe. Good night and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad. In my dreams, I have a plan. If I got me a wealthy man, I wouldn't have to work at all. I'd fool around and have a ball.
Broadcasting to the U.S. and around the world by way of Clear Digital Audio, 22,500 miles above the planet.